I have a lot of slides, so I am going to skip through a whole lot of them. This information is available on the website, and not only my presentation, all the presentations you can download, including handouts. Pretty much, Dr. Chino's my advisor. This was a project, as Dr. Newman mentioned, when I was doing my MPH. I got an MPH last December. I did it in 2 years, working full-time, taking half 6 hours regular semester and 12 hours during summer just to finish. So this was also with Chief Henson, which is the Chief Ranger at Lake Mead National Recreation Area. And this information or study got accepted for publication last week, Wednesday. So it's a good way to start. I don't have any relationships to disclose. I am not going to go through all of this. This is just giving you an idea of what I'm covering on this right here. That's Lake Mead, for those of you who don't know. The GIS information on Lake Mead. So if you look at this right here, I don't know how many of you have been to Lake Mead, anybody or Hoover Dam here? Okay, anybody from Utah, California, Nevada? Well, pretty much, if you look on that information right here, during the 90s, like 95, 94, and 96, that's when we have the very high number of visitors at Lake Mead, over 9 million. So during the 90s, as you can see, peak there, went down a little bit. So the purpose of this study obviously was descriptive, and we wanted to develop baseline data on trends and distribution of risk factors contributing to fatalities for that particular period, 2000 to 2010. And no published studies have examined drowning incidents at Lake Mead before, so this is actually really first comprehensive study. I'm not going to go through the significance. You pretty much can look at that, but our intention is try to look at more scientific-based approach to understanding the major causes of unintentional drowning. So for our operational definition, unintentional drowning was defined as fatalities from water-related activities, example, boating, swimming, cliff jumping, or in some cases it's known as cliff diving and fishing. Those are the areas we looked at. Like any quantitative study or any study at all, you should have some form of conceptual framework or model, and we use the 3 E's, and most of you should or familiar with what the 3 E's are, so I'm not going to go through that. Our pretty much is education, engineering, and enforcement. So that's a framework we use to guide this particular study. And obviously the best strategy is to always use all 3 combinations. So the methods, this was a cross-sectional study, and again, I'm not going to go through this. This is a rationale for using that particular study. It's right there. And so we want to look at the following questions. Which visitors based on gender and race were more likely to be victims of unintentional drownings? Another thing we want to look at, what months, days, time of day, and where unintentional drowning incidents occurred at Lake Mead. So those were 2 questions. We had an extra one, which was we did some correlation analysis and want to look at the relationship between unintentional drowning and selected variables of interest. And when we talk about selective variable of interest, we're looking at alcohol, air temperature, wind speed, age, usage of life vests. The data sources, as I said, incident reports during that particular time we looked at. Now, these are the variables of interest here. Date of incident, time of injury, wind speed, air temperature, gender, age, which is probably one of the most important variables in public health, race, ethnicity, pre-death recreational activity. And when we say pre-death, we're talking about a pre-death activity, what the individual, what they were engaging before the incident for death. And then place of residence. Place of residence was very interesting because we found that 59% of the incidents or the fatalities were in the state of Nevada, and about 30% were from other states, and then we had about 4% were international visitors. So that's a breakdown. So we have a total of 116 incidents. Exclusion, we did not include suicide and homicide files. Okay, and inclusion, we just look at water-based. Obviously, it's descriptive, so we had a Pearson product for the correlation, and that was interpreted using Davis descriptors. Pretty much not a surprise. Most of the incidents were male. The ethnic background, you can see mostly white, Hispanic. The mean age, 35.6. Pretty much 56% of the Jonah incidents were among residents, as mentioned earlier. And if you look at a particular graph there, it gives you a breakdown right here with the different areas, boating, swimming, and fishing. And you can see the age group there, 15 through 24. Most fatalities were there with the 23 people who were involved in swimming. And also 25 through 24, you can see that is swimming again, and boating. Again, in terms of ethnicity, boating among whites, and you can see for swimming, it's mostly Hispanic. And we do have a large Hispanic population there. A lot of time, you know, some of them, lake water is not like a swimming pool, it's heavy. And sometimes people swim in their jeans, they get cramps, and, you know, they don't wear the life vest. Month of the year, you can see most of these occur during the summer months. Obviously, see August, September, it's a breakdown there. Time of day, noon through 6 p.m. And again, you can see boating and swimming about the same right there. Day of the week, that's pretty much easy to understand. Most of these people recreate during our weekends, Saturday and Sundays. And this, we did a GIS information. And the bottom portion here, I know when Sarah mentioned about Arizona, yeah, this is going down the Mojave area. And up north there is more, this is in the Nevada area. So if you look at the heavy cluster areas, a lot of those were in like Boulder Beach. And so the top location of drowning incidents was at Boulder Beach. And then we have Colville Bay. And this is from the GIS information, Cottonwood Cove and Catherine Landing, which is the southern part, going more into Arizona. Here again, the usage of professional floating devices by ethnicity. The blue indicate these are not wearing professional floating devices, and the green indicate the ones which were wearing professional personal flotation devices. Again, alcohol use, it was significant, but it was not, you know, that very, very high in terms of a level of significance. So you see the blue is for yes, and the green is for no, and then we have unknown. Okay, in terms of the correlation, what the correlation indicated, that the relationship between unintentional drowning and PFD usage was moderate, negative, and statistically significant. The relationship between unintentional drowning and gender was low, negative, and pretty much you can see that age was a factor also. In terms of the conclusions here, and most of you are probably familiar with this information, you can see a group of, and this is Lake Mead right here, they're not wearing any professional flotation devices. Here you can see some alcohol and drugs. They're having a good time, but they don't have on their life vests. Okay, so that's a problem right there. The results and conclusion from the study are generalizable only to the 116 incidents in this study. With this limitation in mind, the following conclusions are provided. An indicative risk factor seems to be gender, where you have a risk ratio of 6-1. Males appear to be clearly overrepresented when one considers unintentional drowning incidents. Unintentional drowning incidents were more likely to be higher for visitors within the 25 through 44 age group. And this suggests that age and inexperience may have a role in drowning incidents. And Mulberg has done a lot of research in that area. Most unintentional drowning incidents were more likely to occur during the summer months between noon and 6 p.m. And the GIS data suggests that Boulder Beach, Colville Bay, Cottonwood Cove, and Catherine Landing were more likely locations for drowning incidents. Okay, because Lake Mead is the largest reservoir in the United States, maximum water capacity, causes and risk factors in this study are regional and may not apply to other regions. It was not possible to, this is very important here, it was not possible to adjust for other variables that might affect risk, such as swimming ability, boating skills, and experience. Because convenient sample was used in this study, generalization must be made on the basis of non-statistical consideration. Some recommendations, and this is Chief Hensler. She's in charge of Lake Mead, and here she's fitting this little girl with a vest right there. We try to focus on, you know, have the active and passive, and here we're talking about the three E's. Based on the results and conclusion of this descriptive study, the following recommendations were suggested with emphasis of identifying priorities for prevention. Educational environment, we recommend they should consider partnering with the UNLV School of Community Health Sciences, and they're currently doing that, get some prevention program with the pre-seed model, conduct PFD public education promotion campaigns, conduct boater training to include information on the risk of alcohol, and create specific lake safety awareness messages to address residents and non-residents. Develop prevention materials that target high-risk groups. Engineering, continue to investigate new designs and models in emergency response equipment. Expand on statewide drowning database. And I had developed a database for them so they can put in the fatalities, so that they have done. Continue risk reduction strategy and focus on reducing drowning incidents to attract more visitors. And enforcement, we thought they may benefit by increasing ranger patrol and safety education during the certain time frame, and also apply for funding. Importantly, signage, I think, is needed, because some of the signs, you may need to put some really graphic signs to scare people. I hate to say that, but you don't want to lose your visitors. And people say no dogs, and you'll see still them walk with their dogs here. So the signage is one thing we thought. For future research, this should be used to inform the development of hypotheses for case control studies designed to establish risk factors for drowning. And also, I think a mixed method research should be conducted to determine employees as well as volunteers and visitors' perception of unintentional injuries. And this pretty much is a mission, and I'm not going to go through that. Just want to acknowledge National Park Service. These are the people who help with the project, and also the Student Conversation Association. That's pretty much where I did my internship. And these are some of the references. These are excellent references. And there's a link there. If you hit on that link, it will give you information about the reports, the public information, the visitor reports. This particular handout tell you what year and how many visitors. And since this program, they have developed a life vest, several life vest loaner stations where people, if they can't afford it, they don't have it, they can get a life vest loaner, use it, and bring it back. And those have been very successful. so far, and so I'm fatalities have been reduced, and I think they're on the right track. Question. Now, whatever questions I cannot answer, the expert is right here, so I'm blessed with that. So if you have any questions, please feel free.
We have
30
seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't, right, yeah. No, it's not a requirement, but we are trying to have, you know, encourage them so as to prevent the fatality. So it's not. So what we do know, we have this loaner station, and sometimes it's a matter of appearance and appeal. People think they put it on, they don't look sexy enough or take away. You know, it's true. And so, no, to answer your question, no, it's not. And so they've been encouraged. The rangers have been very helpful. They've been patrolling. And so they have it. Some people may say, you know, I can't afford it. And so the loaner program, that has been very successful. Yeah.
For
state law. For
certain
but
if you're on a boat.
Yeah. Okay. If you're on a boat. Yeah. Swim, and then if you're on a jet ski, although you can still have an impact and still drowns, but still, you can still save it. Okay.